AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
Man, trying to keep up with DeFi, it really does feel like a full-time gig sometimes, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah. I mean, you think you've finally gotten a grasp on things,
right?
And then boom, some new protocol pops up, or there's this crazy token everyone's talking about, or
yeah.
Like we've been seeing lately, some big event happens that just kind of shakes everything up.
Yeah, throws everything into perspective, right? And today, we're diving deep into one of those events that really kind of got people thinking.
Absolutely.
So the Hyperliquid incident, this is what we're calling it, specifically what happened with the delisting of the Jelly Jelly token. It all went down back on March 26th of this year, 2025.
Yeah.
And we've been digging into this report by AvAI. Really insightful stuff.
Oh, yeah. They do great work over there.
Yeah. So our goal today isn't just to sort of, you know, retrace the steps of what happened.
Yeah.
We really want to understand, how did this thing actually work?
Yeah.
What were the vulnerabilities that were exposed? And maybe the most important thing, what does all this tell us about the bigger picture of DeFi?
Yeah. Now,
we're talking security, what decentralization really means when things get tough.
Yeah.
That constant need for, like, really solid risk management. That never goes away, does it?
Never. Nope. It's always there.
So we want to make things clear for everyone listening.
Yep.
Give you some takeaways you can actually use.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that matters.
Absolutely. Actionable insights.
Okay. So let's break this down. What exactly happened with Hyperliquid and this Jelly Jelly token?
Okay. So at the heart of it, this was a coordinated attack, right?
Right.
They went after Hyperliquid's vault, their central pool of funds.
Okay.
And the attackers, they zeroed in on a weak spot. And that weak spot was Jelly Jelly. Specifically, the token's low liquidity on the Hyperliquid platform.
Low liquidity. So meaning it wasn't being traded a whole lot.
Exactly. Think of it like, I don't know, a small pond versus a vast ocean.
Right.
In a small pond, even the tiniest little disturbance can cause these huge ripples.
Oh, I see.
So with Jelly Jelly, that low trading volume meant that even a relatively small amount of buying or selling could really mess with its price.
Okay.
And the attackers, well, they took advantage of that.
So how do they actually use that to their advantage? Like, what did they do?
All right. So they started by taking out some big short positions on Jelly Jelly.
Short positions?
Essentially, they're betting that the price is going to drop.
Okay.
Then they got strategic. They started selling off a bunch of the token. And guess what?
Yeah.
They pushed the price down just like that.
Whoa.
And that created some serious unrealized profits on their short positions.
So they bet the price would drop, then forced it to drop, and boom, their bet's looking good, but they haven't actually cashed in yet, right?
You got it. But here's the kicker. The really smart move, they then pulled out a big chunk of their borrowed funds, their margin, from Hyperliquid.
Margin. So just to clarify for folks, margin is kind of like collateral you put up so you can make bigger trades, right?
Yeah, you got it. So by yanking out a big chunk of this margin, they basically shrunk Hyperliquid's safety net.
Oh, that's risky.
Risky is an understatement. If the price of Jelly Jelly suddenly went the other way, shot up, Hyperliquid might have been caught short, not enough funds to cover those potential losses.
So what did Hyperliquid do? I mean, did they see this happening? What was their response?
Hyperliquid, to their credit, they acted fast. Their governing committee, they got together, had a powwow, and ultimately said, we're delisting the Jelly Jelly perpetual contract. The whole thing's gone.
Hmm. perpetual contract.
Yeah.
Just for anyone who's new to all this.
Yeah, the point.
It's basically a futures contract
right.
that doesn't have an end date.
No expiration. And along with the delisting, they went ahead and set a fixed price for settling all those open short positions, 0.0095 per token.
So they basically decided what price those losing bets would be settled at.
They did.
Regardless of what the actual market price was doing at that moment.
Exactly. They stepped in.
Wow. Bold move. So what was the damage? I mean, financially, how did Hyperliquid come out of all this? It seems like it could have been bad.
It really could have. But get this, the AVAA report says Hyperliquid actually came out unscathed. No losses.
Really?
In fact, they reportedly even made a profit, something like a $703,000.
Wow. They dodged a bullet and made some money in the process.
They did.
That's wild. All right. So what are the big takeaways here? What should we be learning from this whole jelly situation?
Okay. So lesson number one, market manipulation is a real threat, especially when you're talking about protocols with assets that have low liquidity. Think back to our pond analogy. That low liquidity, it's like a thin skin on a drum. Even a little tap can make a huge sound.
I see.
And this is a vulnerability you see with a lot of newer tokens, even on platforms that are pretty advanced. Those early stage projects, they often just don't have the kind of deep liquidity you need to handle a big wave of buying or selling pressure.
That makes sense. So the playbook seems to be find a token that isn't traded much, bet big that the price is going down, force the price down, and then pull out your safety net, your margin, and leave the platform exposed. It's pretty scary how calculated this was.
It is. And that's why these DeFi platforms have to be on high alert all the time. They have to be one step ahead, constantly looking for these vulnerabilities and plugging the holes. Because the attackers, they're creative.
They're smart.
They're sophisticated, and they're always looking for an angle.
So true. Okay, now, one thing that really got people talking, Hyperliquid stepping in and basically making that executive decision to delist the token and set that settlement price themselves. Doesn't that go against the whole idea of DeFi? I mean, isn't it supposed to be decentralized?
You're hitting on a really key tension here. Arthur Hayes, he's a big name in crypto. He even went as far as to say this was, quote, the end of true decentralization for Hyperliquid.
Wow, that's a pretty strong statement.
It is. But it captures how a lot of people felt. I mean, on the one hand, you can see why Hyperliquid did it. They had to act fast to protect the platform.
Right.
But on the other hand, it does kind of go against the whole DeFi philosophy, right? It's supposed to be permissionless, no central authority calling the shots.
Yeah, a real dilemma.
A real balancing act. So where do we draw the line? How much centralized control are we willing to accept in the name of security? It's a question the whole DeFi space is grappling with.
It's a tough one. But, you know, it's interesting. Hyperliquid ended up turning a profit from all of this. That does suggest their intervention, controversial as it was, did work, at least this time.
Yeah, it does make you think. It really highlights the importance of having these quick, decisive risk management protocols in place, especially in DeFi, where things can change so fast.
It's volatile.
Hyper volatile. The fact that they didn't just avoid losses, but actually made money in the middle of all this chaos, that says something about their governance. They were proactive.
Yeah, they were. And they didn't forget about the users who got caught in the crossfire.
Good point. Hyperliquid has pledged to fully compensate all impacted users, except for those addresses that were directly involved in the attack, of course.
Of course.
And they're doing it through the Hyper Foundation.
That's huge. I mean, in DeFi, building trust is everything, right?
It is.
When you have rug pulls and scams happening all the time, seeing a platform step up and say, we've got your back, that goes a long way.
It builds loyalty. It shows they're in it for the long haul.
For sure. Now, this whole incident, it's had ripple effects way beyond just Hyperliquid, right? I mean, regulators and security experts, they're all paying attention now.
Absolutely. Something like this happens, it shines a spotlight on the whole DeFi space. And it really underscores the need for more transparency, stronger security protocols, and maybe even more regulatory oversight down the road. DeFi is maturing.
And what about those big centralized exchanges? Binance, OKX, what was their role in all of this?
Well, the fact that they were even mentioned shows just how interconnected the crypto world is. And whenever something like this happens, the focus immediately turns to tracking the money.
Where did it go?
Exactly. Yeah. And how do we make sure it doesn't get laundered or used in another attack that involves cooperation across different platforms?
It seems like this whole thing has reignited that debate, centralized versus decentralized exchanges. Which one is better? Which one is safer?
Oh, for sure. It's a hot topic again. And CZ, Binance's CEO, he even made some comments after the incident that seemed to suggest, hey, maybe centralized platforms aren't so bad after all. We can step in and manage risks when we need to.
So it's about finding that balance, isn't it? The freedom and autonomy of decentralization, right, but also having safeguards in place,
yep,
for when things go wrong.
Exactly. It's a tough needle to thread, and it's a challenge that the entire DeFi space is going to have to keep wrestling with.
So looking ahead, what is Hyperliquid doing to prevent something like this from happening again?
Well, they're taking it seriously. The AVAI report makes it clear that they're committed to learning from this whole experience. They're talking about some significant upgrades.
Like what? What kind of things are they working on?
So they've mentioned exploring these more dynamic risk parameters. Mm. Think of it like a system that automatically adjusts based on how much liquidity there is.
Okay.
Or if there's some weird trading activity going on. And there's talk about circuit breakers,
yeah,
mechanisms that could temporarily pause trading if a token starts going haywire. The big goal seems to be making the protocol more resilient, harder to manipulate.
Right.
And also being more transparent about how they govern the platform.
Absolutely. Transparency is key.
So it sounds like they're using this as a wake-up call, really taking steps to make sure Hyperliquid is a strong player in the long run.
They are. And they need to. The DeFi space is competitive. They need to stay ahead of the curve.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into this whole Hyperliquid incident, what's the big takeaway for anyone listening who's trying to make sense of DeFi?
It's complicated.
It is. It's complicated and it's constantly evolving.
Yeah.
But I think the Hyperliquid incident is a great case study. It shows us that even on the most advanced platforms, there are still risks, there are still vulnerabilities. Decentralization comes with a responsibility to make sure things are secure.
But there were also some positive things to come out of this.
Yeah.
The way Hyperliquid handled the situation,
yeah,
showed that they were prepared, they were decisive, and they took care of their users.
Absolutely. So it's not just about the risks. It's also about how we respond to those risks. And what Hyperliquid did, it shows us that it is possible to be proactive, to adapt, to learn from your mistakes. And those are the building blocks of a stronger, more trustworthy DeFi ecosystem.
So as we finish up here, it really leaves you with a lot to think about, doesn't it?
It does.
This constant push and pull between the ideal of decentralization and the need for some level of control, for security, for intervention when things go wrong.
Mm.
That's the dilemma. And this incident, it throws that dilemma into sharp relief. What does this tell us about where DeFi is right now? How mature is it? What should our listeners be thinking about as they navigate this world, this fast-moving, ever-changing world?
I think it's about realizing that innovation always comes with risks, but also opportunities.
Right.
And that we need to be vigilant.
Always.
We need to be aware. Because in DeFi, the quest for that perfect balance, freedom, and security, it's an ongoing journey.
It is. And it's a journey we're all on together.
Well said. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive.
My pleasure. It's always great to break these things down.
And to all our listeners, stay tuned for more deep dives coming soon. We'll keep you informed and we'll keep you thinking. Until next time.
See you then.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts. So I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at pluralsight.com and see for yourself.